So for those who don't know, I'm Sherman, and Stacey's married to me. Could say that. It's been 14 years now, and we have our three beautiful girls that has made me a very rich man. So a friend of mine, actually, he was going to come today. I know him for about 22 years. And he always says to me, Sherman, you're a rich man. And he always says that to me when I have no money in my account. And it's such an encouraging thing because it's the truth. As I stand here, I'm a very rich man. And I thank my kids for that, and I thank my wife for being able to say that. Because without them, I wouldn't. But I am a rich man standing here. Let me get into, I'm still a little bit old school. So I've got notes, and I've got a tie on. Ties are for those of you. Okay, anyway, let's move on. So I really want to just piggyback on what happened last week with us and also this week and when Rudy spoke about Romans 12. He said that we need to present ourselves. The word says that we need to present ourselves as living sacrifices because this is our actual worship to the Lord. The thing is, what is a living sacrifice and what is giving of yourself? Is it the same thing? Is it not the same thing? Perhaps it is. And after this message, I would love it if someone could come up to me and say, I got it. Because then it will encourage me that next time I can do a preach again. Okay. So it is, like I said, a privilege for me. And for the last 14 years before moving to Kales River, we were part of Durbanville AM, for those who don't know. And for 14 years, since I got saved, like 15 years, married for 14, in Durbanville AM for 14 years. And we're now almost here for 14 weeks. Right? I think it's more like 10, but counting just to make that 14, you know. That we gave ourselves, I believe, from the get-go, got saved and said, like, Lord, what do? We obey everything that you say. Everything, step by step. And I believe we gave ourselves, our kids, they've given themselves. And the thing is, 14 years later, for the last 14 weeks and less, the goal hasn't changed. The outcome of our lives hasn't changed. And that's still to give ourselves. To give ourselves, firstly to the Lord, and then to you, and then to each other. I believe that this is the call of our lives. And so it's not only the goal, but it's the call. It's to give ourselves. And it doesn't matter how that looks at the end. But I want to stand before Jesus one day, and I want to hear those words, my good and faithful servant, you have given yourself to my purposes, to me firstly, and then to my people. Because if you know Jesus, then your God is my God. Your people, my people. We are on this journey together. And the thing is, I know that we don't always get it right. And for me, a couple of weeks ago, I didn't get it right. So what happens is, you know, in end of the month, you give your tithe, you pay your tithe, and it's easy because the word says, give generously. So your heart is like, press send. Woohoo! Lord, do with the tithe whatever you want to do with it because it glorifies you and I know that I'm going to find favor in you when I tithe. And for those who don't know, I'm sharing a lot of for those who don't know. A couple of months ago, I was a teacher still, which meant that I got paid on the 15th of the month. I get my salary in and some of the debit orders goes off. But, I mean, normally life would be fine if you got paid at the end of the month. Yeah? And that's what Stacey does. She gets paid end of the month, but I get paid at this time, 15th of the month. So what happens is, Money goes in, and sometimes you can check before it gets there. But on this day, I couldn't, because as the money went in, it went out to the debit orders on the same day. And then only afterwards I checked, oh, wait, there's tithe left. So now it wasn't my first fruit. It wasn't the first thing I paid because the debit orders went off. But hey, there's still tithe left. But because it's the 15th of the month, Stacey had gotten paid already. Everything is going. I'm thinking to myself, I'm the dad of this home. And there's a little bit of a lack of food money. So the right thing to do, church, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. You keep some of that money for food for your children. Because you are the dad of the home. You need to provide. And that's what I did. And I kept some of the money back. I paid a portion of the tithe. I know the word says pay. It says let in your heart what you're going to pay, right? It's not a you have to or you will die. But like I said, for 14 years, I did that. I paid my tithe, regardless of situation, because I understand the word of the Lord. I understand that He's my provider. I understand that I've given my life to Him. I understand that it's His money anyway. I understand that the job He's given me is His. I understand that every clothing portion I have on me is His. I understand that my wife, my kids, it's His. So when I pay my tithe, I'm just saying, Lord, take your money. It's yours. But this time, I didn't. I said, Lord, take some of your money because the kids need food. So I'm going to keep some because I'm going to provide for them. And I was sharing a bit because the kids were part of my prep for preaching. And they're like, Daddy, you don't do that. Because remember the scripture that says the sparrows, the lilies, they don't work, but they get provided for. And I'm like, yes, girls, it's exactly that. So the conviction was even there last night again. But the thing was this, I thought I was doing the right thing. The very next day, I got before the Lord. And it's as if, church, I'm telling you, He sat me down on His lap. And He looked at me and He said, Sherman, you didn't trust me on that one. I didn't trust God. After knowing that He provides, after knowing everything, I didn't trust Him. And I was broken. It's not like He was like, Sherman, you didn't trust me on that one. No. So Sherman, you lacked faith. I'm still your dad. And I love you. And I want you to know that I'm your provider. So I want you to get up and try again. And that's what I did. It's like, yo, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I was accountable with it as well after. Apologized. So I'm apologizing to you as well, church. Forgive me. I didn't pay the full tithe. But afterwards I did. When the other money came in after using the money for food. And the Lord is a very restorative dad. So, for those who can remember, maybe there was that storm that went wild. You know, so I'm there in the midst of the storm. Just didn't pay my tithe, but didn't pay it, and now the wind's blowing, and so much so that our roof, with not outside, the inside of our roof goes like it sinks, man. I don't know how to explain it. I was going to take a photo, but I mean, I show a photo. But anyway, the roof is now broken from the inside. And I phone a friend, like, listen, yeah, I know that you might have done stuff in the roof in the past, in your life. Can you help? He's like, no, don't worry. On the way. guy gets there and they just temporarily fix our ceiling because otherwise it's going to fall on our heads, literally, in the lounge. Anyway, and he restores it and then it's like a temporary thing, right? And it's all professionally done and stuff. And after this, in the week, they come and they fix it now fully, the company. Fully, and the house is a mess, and we clean it up afterwards. Side note, that's not part of the preach. But what happens is, I then send him a message, and I say to him, listen, yeah, thank you so much. Your guys did an amazing job. You replaced everything that I don't know, whatever you replaced. Skirting, see, I know that word. And they replaced all that. Please send me your banking details and the cost of it because I'm going to pay it off. Now I'm thinking, oh, maybe R1 million. I don't know what it's going to cost. Even though it's only one room, I just say, you know. And yes, his answer to me. I keep it in mind, I don't have much money. Eh? I'm rich, but I don't have money. There's a difference. He says to me, Sherman, give me the opportunity to honor you. I'm not shouting at you, just getting it out there. Give me the opportunity to honor you because you have so much. And we know the scripture says, those who sow bountifully will get bountifully, right? So, says, you're not going to pay for this. And here's a guy that doesn't really know me. And I'm like, dude, do you know that I don't have money? Like, I haven't sown in that way. And I started just thinking, like, what does he mean? This is with your life. I've sown with my life 14 years. I don't think I've sown into his life. But perhaps it was the times when he saw me listening to someone. Perhaps it was the times where when someone was sick and I said to Stacy, go give them food. Or perhaps it was just the time where I prayed for someone. Or heard that someone was moving. Let's go move house, Marvin. Yeah? And the thing is this, I don't do it to get a reward. But this was part of the reward that I got. And I know the Lord loves the generous giver. And there's a lot of times where I say, Lord, I don't have to give. He's like, no. You do. Everything I've given to you is from me, so you can give that, whatever it looks like. And I know there's a lot of people in this congregation that's given. I was going to use Kaylin as an example. She would have been sitting there. For those who don't know, Kaylin would have been sitting there. She was a learner in my class in grade 9. She was in grade 9. I was a teacher. But man, if I tell you there was some, fight back, it was Kaylin. She wouldn't listen. She was one of those girls like, Masini, walk on. Be like, yo, Kaylin. 2-3 years ago, she walks into Durbanville, and I'm like, I'm going to run away from her. I'm afraid of. But she's like, I'm like, what? Because back in school days, she didn't even greet me. Now she's like, Mania, hello. And I'm like, okay, maybe. The thing is, she's given herself to Jesus, firstly. And now she's going, I'm giving myself to this congregation. Now she's going, I want to get involved with the young adults. Now she's going, I want to get involved with the youth. Now she's going, I'm giving myself. It's an example. Jacques, Lo, Lisa, Here she comes. Talking about you. So for those also who don't know Jacques, randomly sees a message on one of the groups. How many years ago? 3 years ago. Sees a message. Hey guys, we're going to Namibia for an outreach. Anybody keen to go? Jacques puts up his hand. No idea what to expect, but he puts up his hand. I don't know him. I'm one of the drivers. I said, okay, cool, let's go. I think you were a month in the church. 1 month. Given himself to the Lord first, and then given himself to the guys in Namibia, because it's a men's camp that we're going to. The thing is, he was afraid to go on this trip. Because the other guys in the car, they've never met before. They're like, here's my bags, we're going now. That's how they met, when they met. And the thing is, I was also afraid because I'm like, this guy with the long hair behind me. What is he doing here? What is he going to do? And we sleep in a tent. And he's snoring. It was me snoring. But here's the thing. We leave for Namibia the Friday after work. 10 hour. This was a 12 hour because we had to go further into. Get there the Saturday morning, midnight or whatever, 2 o'clock, whatever. Spend time there the Saturday. Go to the preach on the Sunday, listen, and drive back home. Why would you do that? Because I've given myself to the Lord and then to others. That's what Jacques did. He's given himself firstly to the Lord, then to others. I want to just, probably must bring up some scripture. Eh? Sorry, it's over here. Maybe let's start with 2 Corinthians 8 verse 2. I used this last week as well. For in a severe test of affliction, last week, the abundance of joy and the extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity. Here, again, as I mentioned last week, that there's guys going through extreme poverty. But they're saying, please pick me to be part of this giving because I want to find favor in Jesus. I don't have, but please pick me to give myself. And then, if we can maybe stay with 2 Corinthians 8, 5. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. So this might be a whole strange thing for you if you have not given your life to the Lord first. So I want to say to you, it starts there. So, you see now with these papers. Sorry. I want to ask us the questions. How have you given yourself? Firstly to the Lord and then to others. And as I was speaking with Stacy about this, what if I told you that you can bless someone with a smile and their lives can be changed? You don't have to give money only, or tithe, or, no, you don't, let me just say this, we should tithe, but it's not only that. How can you bless someone? By choosing today, I'm going to change my face, I'm going to be a sacrifice, even though, as we heard, some of us might have come here this morning saying, and you don't know what I've been through. I don't, but God does. But would you mind sacrificing that emotion and just putting a smile on your face and saying, man, God is still good. I'm a living sacrifice, and I choose this morning to smile at you, my brother, because I want to bless you. when I want to find favor in the Lord's name, in His face. So I'm going to smile at you. You can ask me, did you pay your tithe? I did this month. And it's tough, some things that we go through, but I can still smile because God is good. Because everything we have is from Him. First to God, then to others. What about just listening to somebody? Making coffee for somebody? At your workplace, can you make someone else coffee? You might not be able to bless them with all the scriptures in the Bible because you don't know the whole Bible word for word, but can you make them a cup of coffee and sacrifice yourself in that way? Can you, even this morning, sit in a different position or seat here? Because sometimes we sit close to our wives and our husbands, but also our best friends from the previous congregation. I'm just asking, are you willing? Because maybe someone wants you to sit next to them and you deciding not to. What do you have in your hand, church? Do you have time to give to somebody? What do you have? Not only about the finances. Not only about the finances. How can we advance God's kingdom by being living sacrifices? And I was going to go into the Hebrew and the Greek, but I'm not. I just had to. But there's two things I want to highlight for us. The giving part. Giving is what you have, your resources. And the offering, your spiritual offering, is your life. Can we do both? Because our great example, as Paul put it in Ephesians 5:2, he first speaks about the new life, that as you have given your life to Jesus, there's a new life. The old is gone, the new has come. And then he continues to go in Ephesians 5:2. Church, now that you have given your life, that you are a new creation, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave, there's that word, give, gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering, sacrifice to God. Therefore, be imitators of Jesus and walk in love as Christ loved us. He gave himself. So here's the thing. Even if I smile at Peter, even if I give away all my money, even if I make my colleague coffee at work, even if I walk into church with so much joy, if I have not love, it's pointless. It's nothing. Even if I put my body on the altar every day, living sacrifice, Romans 12, even if I do that, but I have not love, 1 Corinthians 13. We can easily, some of us maybe, quote, love is patient, love is kind. But let's go before that. If I speak in tongues of men, and you bring a prophetic word on a Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong. Bang, 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 bang. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith to pay the tithe every month, so too as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Not I have nothing, I am nothing. if I give away all my money, all my clothes, all my coffee making, and I deliver my life, myself, my body, as in Romans 12 we are encouraged to do, to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So here's my question. This goes for all of us. If Jesus did it for you and I, He gave His life because He loved us first. And He says, now go and be imitators of Me. He's actually saying, go and love like I do. And through this, it will be easier to be a living sacrifice. And church, I want to say this. It's probably one of the easiest prayers to ever have. Because He says He gives us everything for life and godliness. But it's probably one of the most difficult things to do. One of the easiest, and one of the most difficult. Easy why I say this. Share the last story. Stacy, my wife. She's beautiful, eh? Yes. But let me take you back to about 12 years ago. She was the youth leader. On a Friday evening, we used to have youth. She was lying on the couch, crying. I don't want to go to youth. Youth leader with me. I don't want to go to youth. I don't want to go to youth. I said to her, but you are the youth leader. Needless to say, she knew that that was part of her call. And her prayer was, Lord, help me to love the youth. Help me to love people. Who's inviting people over to our home now? She is. Who's taking meals to people now? She is. Because of that simple prayer. And every time she takes a meal to someone, it's not easy. Something happens at home. The dog goes crazy. The kids are wild. Sherman's not home, and now she must cook two meals or whatever. Living sacrifice. Simple prayer. So maybe that's for us this morning. That simple prayer to go, Lord, help me to love.